seem to have the peace that surpasses all understanding. And how can you obtain it? Hello and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson, and you can learn more about my books by visiting my website at ts-thompson.com.
Yes, and I'm Jo Heather Dodson, your Christian coach, helping you discover what God has next for your life. Learn more about my coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we talk about peace in relation to your deeper Christian living. So, have you ever experienced the peace that surpasses all understanding? Think about it for just a minute. The phrase comes from Philippians 4:7, which says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Well, here's my example of how I started to learn what that phrase meant. Years ago, I went through a period of time when I felt like my life was in shambles, really. I mean, almost like it had burned down, right? The ashes around me. Everything seemed to have happened at once. A key person in my life abandoned me suddenly. My job was being downsized, so I was on shaky ground financially. I didn't know if I would be able to keep my home. I was scrambling to cut my living expenses. You know, I was praying that God would give me wisdom on how to manage that. I remember my sister-in-law came to visit me at my house, and she was like, "It is so cold in here. Why don't you just turn up the heat?" And I just said, here's a throw, you know, cover up, because I was, you know, had to be watching every little penny. And unfortunately, at the same time, my church life felt very chaotic because we were having a leadership issue at the time. And so I'll be honest, you know, it felt like things were falling apart. And for me, my anxiety was manifesting in my physical body and in my mental state. And how did I know that? Well, my hair was falling out in handfuls. And I was having this short-term memory loss, which a friend helped me realize. And those are just classic signs of overwhelming stress. But then, you know, a lot of people knew what I was going through. And so they were praying for me. I was praying. And all of a sudden, and I can't pinpoint the moment, but my anxiety ceased. And I did feel peace from God. And it flooded my whole being. And it didn't make sense. There was no way to make sense of it, but it happened. And so it was at that moment that I started my understanding of what having that peace means and what a gift it is, and that it only comes from God. And so we're going to take a much deeper look at what peace means today. So I want you to stick with us, but I want to give Tammy a chance to jump in here. Tammy, what are your thoughts as we get started today?
Wow. Well, first, I could just feel that stress coming off of you. You know, I know. And I'm sure there's so many people that are listening in that can relate to that. Maybe your hair wasn't falling out, but maybe you couldn't sleep. That's a sign. Maybe you're eating too much, mm-hmm. or maybe you can't eat. You ever feel so stressed you can't even eat? You know, or you just feel nauseous of trying to. I know I've gone through some very hard times, you know, in my life, and I'm sure those people who are listening in have gone through periods of time of that. And you know, looking back, you know, Jo Heather was just sharing, and I'll share personally with you that, you know, some of you listen to the podcast know I was in a major car accident in 2006, and I was almost paralyzed from the neck down from that. You know, I went through multiple surgeries and years of recovery, and you know, and during that time, you know, I expected my loving husband to be helping me through it, but he let alcoholism come in and ruin his life. And he had this affair. It was a major affair that, you know, cost him his job over it for a security clearance purpose. And, you know, our marriage was falling apart. I'm trying to, you know, make sense of, you know, my medical condition and figure out which way things are going to go. And so now my marriage falling apart, but we went through a bankruptcy, a foreclosure. We lost our home, you know. It was very hard years. I mean, yes, my hair is falling out too, Joe. It was.
It's like, what is it about our
hair?
I don't know.
It's stress. I think all the medicine, too, from the car actually was causing it. You know, and just everything. Yeah. And, it was horrible. It was just a horrible time. And, but God was with me.
Amen.
Through it all. I mean, even when I was confused, I was very confused why this was happening to me, you know, and I remember pulling back from God, kind of like, you know, David was afraid to go to God at one point after the man struck dead after touching the ark, you know, kind of hid from God a little bit. You ever feel like that? You don't understand why things are happening, why God allowed this to happen. So you kind of shy away from God when you need him the most, right? I was unsure about my future and that I should have been clinging to God, but you know, he still brought me through all that. He still loved me. He knew what I was going through, and he pulled me out a stronger woman of faith. I look back at those years and I think, man, he was there and I couldn't see him. He was there in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep. He was there through all of it, you know, helping me get that unshakable faith that only comes from him. You know, and so I wish, I mean, Joe talks about that piece. I wish that piece would just popped in at any moment. I would have loved to have had that, you know, but it didn't come right away. It really didn't come right away. I think sometimes we're too much in the storm, the chaos going around us, really to recognize the Lord. Just like the disciples, you know, the disciples on the boat didn't recognize Jesus at first. They're so concentrated with the waves and rocking on the boat and stress. We're going to drown, you know, and so they thought he was a ghost. And I'll read you this passage here so you can shed some light on it. So this is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear, right? But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. This passage teaches us a lot of things, right? That, you know, even if we don't see Jesus as the Prince of Peace in the storm that we're going through, he is there walking beside us and toward us. Think about Jesus walking towards you, coming towards you in the chaos of the storm that you're going through. He's coming to you, and he wants you to recognize him for who he is. And we're going to share more on peace in a moment, so hang on. But first, I want to take a moment to let you know how you can support our podcast. So first, depending upon what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss any future episodes. But the most important thing you can do is just share this podcast. It really helps spread love and encouragement and help our podcast to grow. And we also want to extend an invitation to you to help our podcast grow in different ways. So in the world we live in today, we talk about it all the time, there are a lot of individuals that feel discouraged. They feel hopeless. They feel unloved. And yeah, many people are searching for a word of encouragement and are hungry to know God's word. And they may not tell you. They might be one of these quiet people that desperately need something. You know, they may be praying about it. You could be an answer to somebody's prayer by sharing this podcast with them. And also by partnering with us through prayer and financial support, our podcast is going to continue to grow and impact many more lives. You can find out more on how you can sow into our ministry podcast by visiting our website's donation page at loveandencouragement.com/donate. And also on our website of loveandencouragement.com, we feature early access to video and our audio podcasts every Wednesday. And you can save time. We got a form, fill it out, and we'll email you the podcast every Wednesday.
Awesome. Thank you, Tammy. Depending on what version of the Bible you're reading, you're going to find the word peace is mentioned between 350 and 420 times. And so always look at that. And with that many references, I believe peace is something that God wants us to pay close attention to. So when you think about what is peace, for me, when I think of that word, and, you know, I think of it as quiet, I think of calm. I think of tranquility, being free from the emotions that cause my stomach to churn. You know, that might be anger, fear, or anxiety. Just sort of this sense of a state of rest. And, you know, maybe if it's about a relationship, you know, the word peace might kind of show up as the word reconciliation for you. So I know there are moments in life where peace feels very elusive. And so you might be wondering, well, how do you access this peace that surpasses all understanding? And so what we want to do, like we always do, is we want to find the answers in the Word of God. And so I mentioned Philippians 4 as we started today. So I want you to grab your Bibles, and I want us to look at that chapter again. This is a great selection to help us gain insight into what is peace and how do we access it. So we're going to start in verse 4. So I want you to, look in Philippians 4:4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." So in this verse, we get a clue as to where to start gaining access to peace. So, a few minutes ago, I described a time in my life when I felt like I was living in chaos. But despite that chaos, there were still things that I could rejoice in. I rejoiced because I was saved. I mean, praise God. I couldn't have gone through that without my faith. And so I was, I thought about being marked for heaven despite the spiritual battle that I was in. For me, I felt like I could rejoice because I still had family and friends who were praying for me and supporting me greatly despite the difficulties. Your story may be different, okay? So just I'm telling you part of my story now of how I was able to rejoice. What was I looking for? I was looking for a way to rejoice. But even beyond, those positive parts of my life, the scripture says to rejoice always, no matter what's happening around you, whether it's good or bad. And so always means always, right? It's in the goods and the bads and the in-betweens. So when you're feeling attacked, one of the tools in your toolbox, I talk about this a lot with my clients and my kids, we've got this invisible toolbox. And in our toolbox is this tool called rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. So when you do that, you are, number one, assuring yourself of your victory in Jesus. And the Word confirms that in Psalm 97:12. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise His holy name." So because I'm marked by God, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And so are you when you've made that profession of faith. You can see 2 Corinthians 5:21 to meditate on that scripture. And you can just rest in the fact that you have His righteousness. And that's going to just naturally start to draw you toward peace. I don't have to be flailing around going, well, what did I do wrong to be attacked? No. Okay, I know the Savior. I'm going to rejoice in Him. I have His righteousness. I'm going to start moving into that place of peace. All right, now I want you to look at verse 5 and 6. So it says, "Let your reasonableness," or your version may say gentleness, "be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." You guys know I refer to this verse a lot. It's very meaningful to me. And so the first thing that I notice in these verses, it says the Lord is at hand. And so when I see that phrase, I'm reminded that the Lord is dwelling inside of me as the Holy Spirit. I am the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit is with me. And if He's with me, He's at hand, right? So knowing the Lord is with me, I am infused with access to the power of heaven. And so having access to heaven's power and authority, I've been given authority by the Lord, makes me feel, more confident. And that confidence leads me to be closer to peace, knowing that God is with me. Right? So we're kind of seeing this as a journey, rejoicing, kind of building my confidence, leaning on the Lord, knowing He's with me. So now look at verse 6. Verse 6 tells me that I shouldn't be anxious about anything. And so when I do that, I can take a breath and I can remind myself to cast my cares on the Lord. As it says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on God because He cares for you. And that's a powerful action. action. Sometimes people talk about this as, you know, oh, laying it at the foot of the cross, right? I'm going to cast my cares. So the opposite of being anxious is being at peace. So how can I move toward greater peace? And verse 6 tells me, I'm to make my request known to God through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So what does that mean? So it means I pray humbly and earnestly with a thankful heart for all that God has done for me. And again, we've talked about this in the podcast before of where do you put your focus? Where are your eyes? What are you looking at? Are you looking at lack or are you looking at the Lord, right? We've talked about this before. So this is kind of in the same vein. So when I pray this way, I move closer to a state of peacefulness. And I can do this because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God cares for me. The Word tells me so, and I believe it. And I want you to believe it too. So I want you to feel encouraged. All right, back to our passage. I want you to look at verse 7. Verse 7 in Philippians 4 addresses the peace of God. And this is my key verse for today. So I don't know if you want to put a star beside it or just write it down so that you can think about it more after the show. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So as a Christ follower, the peace of God comes to you and takes the place of your feelings of doubt, anxiety, fear, something else. And the verse says that this peace surpasses all understanding. Even though we're trying to talk about it today, it really is a mystery of God and a gift from God. That doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it. We're trying to figure this out and we're chewing on the Word to get some insight. So here's the great thing about the peace of God. It guards your hearts and minds in Christ. So you get a wonderful sense of well-being that comes only from being hidden in Christ, as it says in Colossians 3:3. So I'm going to cover a few more verses in Philippians 4. So you might want to save that spot and we'll come back to that in a moment. But first, I want to give Tammy an opportunity to jump in here and share with us.
That's so true. I hope you guys are paying attention. That God really does care about you. I think that's a big milestone for a lot of people when they want to have, you know, you got this anxiety. You talked about the anxiety, which is the opposite of peace. And then you really want God to take that away from you because Jesus will exchange that peace. You know, he'll take your anxiety and give you his peace, that exchange. But I think having that really understanding, just taking a moment, if you're stressed out, just taking a moment and say, God really does love me. And stand on that verse. Like she said, write that verse down. You can stand on that and then start your prayer with that in mind, that God really does care about you. He doesn't want you to be stressed out. So that leads me into my next thing I want to talk about was I mentioned earlier that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And this can be found in Isaiah 9:6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is a powerful verse. Now, I know a lot of people read this around Christmas time. You know, there's songs made about it, right? But just think about this for a minute. Jesus, the Son of God, his name shall be called all of those things. Now, there's more things that people call Jesus too, you know, the Lord and stuff. But I want to just take this verse here and break it down a little bit, because I really dove into this as we were preparing for this topic of peace. God wanted to show me something. I want to share it with you. So let's look at each one. Wonderful Counselor. Now, it's interesting because in the King James, they divide that up into two, Wonderful and Counselor. But it's fine to put it here, Wonderful Counselor. So whenever you are feeling stressed, lonely, fearful, or anything besides peace, remember that Jesus is who you go to as your personal Wonderful Counselor. Now, the world we live in today defines it. There's counselors all over the place. Therapy, you know, different. They have different names for it and stuff. But basically, the world outside of the Bible refers to a person you go to for guidance when you need self-help with your personal, social, psychological problems. You can also get ungodly counsel from people, meaning advice. You know, so we're going to look at something. There's a lot of people in the world who are just anxious to give you their two cents. So let's look at this verse here. Psalms 1:1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So this is kind of like a reverse verse, if you want to really look at it. So what it's saying here, you might be confused on it. Just read it over a couple of times. But it says that you are blessed when you do not act upon ungodly advice. That's really what this is saying. You are blessed when you don't do these things, when you don't take the counsel of the ungodly. And you don't mean not just take their advice, but go and do what they tell you to do, right? So another verse here is Psalms 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. This verse is a picture of such a loving Father in heaven. Really, remember that Jesus is not just, you know, counselor, but wonderful counselor. His advice and his instruction will be good for you out of love. Right? So there is this peace that comes when you have, we're talking about peace today. There's this peace that comes when you have the answers that you seek, don't they? Right? Confusion is quite when most people experience the uncertainty, the anxiety and stuff. But when you have the answers that you seek, you know what direction to go in or what choice to make, you have that peace. Okay. So the next one is Mighty God. Whatever valley or storm you're facing, remember that Jesus is called Mighty God. He can handle anything that you are struggling with, anything. He is bigger than your problem. He is mighty, right? So let's look at Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You don't have to be strong in your own strength. That's the whole thing with being stressed out. You don't have to do it in your own strength, but in the Lord and in praising him, right? Because of his mighty power over your situation. So you got distress, you go to God, man, you're so mighty God, I'm going to praise you because I know you got this. I don't have to worry about it. You have it. Okay. And Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Can you imagine that? What an amazing verse. You know, I just love this verse. The mighty warrior who saves. God delights in you. He loves you so much that he rejoices over you with singing. And I suggest writing down your problem on a piece of paper, and on another piece of paper, write down this verse. Then in your left hand, hold it up and read your problem to God. Whatever it is. And then I want you to crumble it and toss it away. And next, I want to take that verse, that Zephaniah verse 3:17, in your right hand, and you're going to read it out loud in confidence, knowing that mighty God has heard you and is taking charge over that discarded trouble. Amen. Right? That should give you peace when you bring that to God, your trouble, and you trust him with it in his mighty power. There's peace that comes with that. So the next one, the next title he's given here is Everlasting Father. I thought about this one when I was writing Everlasting Father. And God just led me to what he wanted me to share with you today. But these are the things that trouble us are temporary. They really are temporary. They may not seem that way, but they are. Because Jesus is called the Everlasting Father. Let's look at this verse. John 17, verses 1 through 3. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, Jesus, who is Everlasting Father, wants you to partake in eternity with him. He's just not going to just have eternity and we're down here and we're just more, you know, ploop, we live a little life and then we're dust in the earth again. Right? He wants you to partake in that with him. So much that he's provided a way for you to do so. Right? So verse 3 defines eternal life, which he said, now this is eternal life. This is Jesus explaining what eternal life is. That you know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's when you're putting your faith in him, in Jesus Christ, who God has sent, you're going to have eternal life through him. He's provided that way on the cross for you to be able to share in that kingdom with him forever. That reigns forever, right? So whatever you're facing, understanding that this is temporary. I know this is hard. Again, I know this is hard because it feels like it's never going to end sometimes, especially when you're going through something for a long period of time, you know. But think about this. When keep your focus on Jesus as that eternal Father, right? It's just a blink of a moment. In eternity with Christ. It really is. You know, Paul said it well in 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, if you know the story of Paul, he went through a lot of things that either those he had to have kept his focus on. It's just for a moment. All the stoning, the shipwrecking, snake bites, all the stuff that he went through. It was just for a moment. He kept his eye on the Lord, eternal Father, that got him through that. So whatever stressful thing is overwhelming you, compare it to your eternal life. Thinking about your eternal life, right? And rest in the peace of what Christ has done for you because he is the everlasting Father, right? And now we get to Prince of Peace. We just love this, right? He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is not only peace, but the Prince of Peace, meaning he rules and reigns over peace. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end." God, and this might be hard for you to think about, right, to understand this, but God has thoughts of peace over you and over concerning your life. Thoughts of peace. He thinks those things towards you. He wants you to have his peace, right? So look at what Jesus says next in this next verse here in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. His peace, right? He gives you his peace. And who is he called? The Prince of Peace, right? What a better peace could you ever long for? Surely not the peace of the world, right? Long for the peace that comes from the Prince of Peace in all areas of your life. See peace in the good times and yes, even in your struggles. Well, I'm going to take a moment here and pause. You hold on to that because I know Joe Heather's going to bless you some more here in a minute, but I just want to take a moment, pause, and let you know that Love and Encouragement to Live By today is sponsored by our very own Joe Heather Dotson. Are you ready to discover what's next in your life? As a credentialed coach, Joe Heather provides a space for you to discover the answers you need for your work and life. Partnering with her through prayer-filled, structured conversations, you will create action plans aimed at fulfilling your God-given purpose and calling. Woo! Contact her for a no-cost contact call so that you can explore how coaching would change your business and life. And I encourage you to look at her weekly Points to Ponder videos, you know, on your favorite social media channel. Each Tuesday, she puts out a quick three-minute message on how you can improve your Christian walk and quality of life. I deeply encourage you to check them out. And you can find out more about Jo Heather and her coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. That's yourchristiancoach.net. Plus, if you want to sponsor a future episode or if you want to feature your favorite ministry effort, contact us at loveandencouragement.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Tammy, for sharing all of that. And thank you for walking us through, you know, our Prince of Peace, sweet Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love all of those words that define who he is to us. And so, as Tammy said, I'm going to circle us back to Philippians 4, and I'm going to pick back up there in verse 8, because we have more meat here to kind of chew on. We're chewing on that meat. So, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Well, here's where our thinking comes into play as we are pursuing peace, right? Our thoughts have a part of this. The verse reminds you to guard your thoughts And it lists 8 specific things, things to think about, things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. And that's a powerful list of words. So if you wrote down these words, and I'm saying this to myself, and held it up beside everything you watched on TV, listened to on the radio, and read in books, I wonder how many things we'd realize we need to let go of in our pursuit of peace. Just a little side note there, and something I'm kind of saying to myself, need to consider that. So if you look at 2 Corinthians 10:5, it tells us to take every thought captive to obey Christ. And so that may seem overwhelming, every thought captive. Oh my goodness. But when we pray and seek the Lord's help in taking our thoughts captive, our heart will flow with springs of life. And we can read about this in Proverbs 4:23 and Revelation 7:17 if you want to write that down. For it is when we are in Christ that we have peace. Peace in our mind and peace in our heart and peace in our spirit. So now let's go back to Philippians 4 and we're going to look at verse 9 now. So what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, remember this, Paul speaking, practice these things and the peace of God will be with you. So again, we're in a pursuit of peace. How do we get there? Well, Paul, who's writing this letter to the Philippians, is telling us to focus on the amazing virtues of God's ways. And Paul is demonstrating God's ways in his Christian walk. He's an example for them to follow then and for us to follow today. And so this sort of, for me, feels like a circular flow. You might see something else in your spirit as I'm talking through this, because I'm thinking my right thinking leads to right believing, which in turn leads to right living, and that right living, which is made possible only through obedience to God, results in the peace of God. And then the peace of God in turn flows back to help me renew my mind with right thinking. So it's a transformation process, and for us in this world, it has to continue daily until we get to graduate to heaven, right? It's a daily walk. It's a daily renewing of your mind. And today we're talking about peace. So if I'm, you know, pursuing peace, this is part of it. So I want to close out my look at this chapter by reading verses 11 through 13, because it's in these verses that I feel Paul is reminding me that no matter what my circumstances, I can access the peace of God. I can draw strength from God, and I can rejoice in Him always. So let's read it. Paul says in verse 11, "Not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. I know how to get along with little, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Christ is your supply. I want you to hear that today. Christ is your supply. He supplies your every need. And this includes the amazing peace of God that surpasses all understanding.
Amen. Amen, Jo Heather. I was thinking when you were talking about Paul and stuff and being able to, in whatever situation he's in, have that peace. It's because the peace doesn't come from your circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't come. Mm-hmm. We so often think, I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit is just putting on my heart to share with you. It doesn't come from our circumstances. How often do we expect, you know, the circumstances to give us peace? As if it's the circumstances are greater than Jesus. That peace that comes that we can't understand, that Jehovah's talking about, it comes from Christ. True peace, the Prince of Peace. It surpasses our understanding. We look to that instead of our circumstance. That's something that I'm going to be meditating on this week, for sure. But as we get ready to close, I'm just drawn to this one verse. I'm going to share it with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11. "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." Wow. You know, we've talked a lot today about getting and receiving peace from God. And, you know, even Christ being the Prince of Peace, we've talked about that. But it is not meant to stop there, is it? No. No, we strive to live more like Christ. That full restoration, that word really popped out when I was reading that restoration, to be fully like Christ. That full restoration, right? We strive for that. It's, you know, that is what this podcast is here for, sharing God's love, hope, and peace to encourage you up every week in your Christian walk. And it encourages us up too. It really does. We get blessed by doing this podcast. We really do.
Amen.
Helps us in our Christian walk. You know, all the gifts that come down from heaven to us and to you, God gives you words too. If, you know, he teaches you things about him. They're not meant to stop with you. They're not. We are to live in peace, you know, and we are to take that peace that we are given and we are to share it with others. This is love, right? When you share peace with others, it is out of love. Christ gives his peace to you out of love, right? And you might be thinking, Tammy, I get how Jesus can give me peace, but how am I to give it to others? You're like, how do I give peace? I mean, Jesus is peace, so how am I supposed to give that to others? Well, you do show so by sharing your testimonies about receiving peace in Christ. You give an example. We've given examples here today about how we went through a stressful situation. Maybe something hopeless came up, and then how Christ delivered you through it. I shared about how God delivered me through that car accident. I wasn't paralyzed. He saved me. He brought me peace through that hard time in my life. I'm sure there's times that you have that you could share with somebody when somebody's going through something. You could say, Jesus was there for me, right? And when you share that hope, you know, comes and his peace will be transferred from you, right? They can see Christ through you. That reflection of light comes through us and they can grab hold of something from a testimony that you share. And the other way is that you can pray for those who are struggling with fear and anxiety. And I'm not just talking about saying, I'll pray for you and then you walk away, right? I'm talking about, I don't care where you are, you grab hold of somebody's hand when they say, when they're going to something and say, well, let's pray now. It makes a difference. I've done it to strangers in shopping malls. You just said, well, maybe, you know, you could pray for me later. Well, let's do it now. You take hold of them and you pray over them. You pray over them for the peace of God to cover them with all his might and love and to wash away all their fear and anxiety, trying to rob them of their peace. We are entitled to peace from God. We are heirs of the kingdom, right? And that peace is rightfully ours. Through Christ, our Savior, the Lord, and an enemy would do anything he can to come and rob that from you. So we need to remind our brothers and sisters that that is rightfully theirs. And we need to encourage each other up by sharing that peace and praying with that peace over them in situations. You got fired up there for a bit.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I know, it's all good. You know, and finally, you live as an example of how Christ shines his light of peace in you. Meaning that you're the calm when others are stressed out. Maybe there's a situation that happens, you know, you witness a car accident with somebody, you know, you can be that peace in the midst of all the chaos going around. You can share your bold confidence in the Lord. You can help them to know him as the eternal Father and that kingdom of evermore, right, awaits ahead and beyond their troubles. Amen.
Amen. Moving closer to your access to the peace of God, you know, we've talked about it today. Thankful prayer is a part of it. Renewing your mind, resting on the assurance that God cares for you. I mean, these are just parts and things for you to think about. So we always like to leave you with a question that you can meditate on. And so here's my challenge question of this week. How will you deepen your understanding of the peace of God this week? Thank you for taking time to join us. Just as a reminder, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. If you want to be a sponsor of one of those episodes, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. Join us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.